This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only national golf talk radio and TV program. Presented by TaylorMade. Golf has a new game-changing number. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI 10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to learn more about the QI 10 Carbon Woods. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Well, good morning, Canada. Welcome inside another Wednesday edition of GTC. Adam Scully, Bob Weeks, Mark Sacchino. We're all back here together, all in different places, but we are all back together for the first leg of our doubleheader across the TSN network today. We're on from now until noon right here on the TSN radio network. And then at 2 p.m., on TSN 1 and TSN 4. You can watch us as we recap the Players' Championship and look ahead to this week's Valspar Championship. First, Bob, welcome back to the show. How were your travels back home on Monday?
Well, you just easy peasy. Everything went smoothly. Flights were on time. Flights were early. Good to be back. A little bit of a catch-up day yesterday, but All good. It was a great week down in Pontevedra, and we got to see a lot of good golf and see some pretty incredible shots.
Yeah, did we ever. And we're going to get your full thoughts on the Players' Championship in our next segment, because we want to take a deep dive into your perspective on Scottie Scheffler's brilliance at the Players. Mark, sounds like you've had a really eventful couple of days at Cabot Citrus Farms. Welcome back, my friend. How was your experience at Cabot?
What an amazing place, guys. I can't wait for both of you to see it. Open invitation went out yesterday to both of you. When I left property last night, they made sure, let's make sure Bob and Adam get here soon. I said they would love to, so have to figure that out. It's like everything else our friends at Cabot do. They did it right. It's a great place. 18 championship holes of golf. The golf course is tremendous. So much fun. Feels more like Pinehurst or Sand Valley. A lot of shots you can play on the ground. A lot of hard bounces and mounding. It's so much fun. Really interesting. Variety of looks off the tee. It's coming into holes. They've got a great executive course called the Squeeze, a par 3 called the Wedge under floodlights, and so much coming. More golf coming. The food was great. Of course, next week, Adam, we're going to do a deep dive on TSN TV on Golf Talk Canada Television. We spoke with Daniel Knight, the general, operations yesterday, and I really enjoyed my time. It was good. My back's sore, guys. I got to tell you, I got to get in the gym. I know we're going to talk a little, my time with Rick Smith a little later in the show. And the one thing that's coming out of all this, I have kicked the rock down the road too long. I need to be up in the morning when we're all together on the road and you two are in the gym and I'm sleeping. I got to get my butt out of bed and get in there with you. That's the one thing that I have figured out in the last couple of weeks.
Okay, well, I mean, Bob and I can really tell you all about that. I know we're going to, like you mentioned, talk about our swing changes, maybe some fitness we've been doing. I know because you had about a 24-hour golf lesson, it sounded like, Mark, a couple of weeks ago, that the lesson that would never end. But we'll get into that in a big way later in the show. Should also mention Kristen Murphy going to join us here on GTC for a look back at the Players' Championship. But first, let's kick things off with some news and some headlines.
News and headlines are brought to you by Sandbagger Hard Seltzer. Sandbagger. Everybody knows one.
Well, first things first, the meeting that happened on Monday, PGA Tour Enterprises Board of Directors and Yasser Al-Rumayyan, the governor of the Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund, met. Bob, the big question, what do we know, if anything, from this meeting?
We don't know much other than the fact that they met in the Bahamas, and they all flew their private planes down there. And I'm assuming that the PGA Tour players rode on the PGA Tour's private plane along with Commissioner Jay Monahan. And listen, this is progress, if nothing else. At least they're taking some steps to move forward. We don't know the content. I suspect there wasn't a lot of real deep dives. It was more of fact-finding. I think the players probably wanted to find out where Yasser stood on a couple of different points and a couple of different issues, the most obvious ones being the pathway back for the LIV players and the future of team golf. So I think, you know, it's an idea where you sit down, you meet the guy finally, and you put everything, put your cards on the table, as it were. And I think this is an important step, if for no other reason than it shows the players are involved here, as opposed to in the past when these things would come secondhand from Jay Monahan or his people who were at the meetings with these people. So positive step all around. I think even if nothing comes of it, I think it's a good step.
Yeah, it's got to be a positive step too, because we were all there on June 6th, either live on TV and radio or coming back from a corporate event like you were, Bob, where we saw Commissioner Jay Monahan and Yasser there on TV magically together. Some thought it was fake, some thought it wasn't. And of course, my viral reaction to being live on the air to seeing the news break was something I will never forget. But Mark, to Bob's point too, this has to be a good sign moving forward that some of these players are involved, getting to know Yasser at least a little bit to try to get the best in the world together more often, correct?
Well, I think it's a good sign in a few different ways, and I think Bob alluded to it there. So it's a good sign in terms of where we're moving in these conversations. And the only word that I've heard used through description of what happened Monday is the word constructive. So the conversation, the meeting was constructive. So that alludes to the belief that at least they were moving in a positive direction together. That there wasn't
think Mark might have dropped out there. I think we're going to work on getting Mark here on the phone. The connection, not the best here so far, but we'll get Mark on the phone here shortly. Has to be a good sign here moving forward. And as we always do here on GTC, we'll have the latest in terms of news, if any, comes up here, in whether it's during the show, next week, etc., as hopefully we get closer to a deal. I mean, PGA Tour Enterprises, potentially the PIF, just to get the best in the world together more often. Now, coming up later this summer is the Olympics, and we are going to take a deep dive into both the men's and the women's in terms of who is going to have the best chance to be there for Canada. But something that people have asked for quite some time is potentially a format switch, because how awesome would it be to see a Nick Taylor, a Corey Connors, an Adam Hadwin, whoever, playing with a Canadian like Brooke Henderson, Savannah Grual, Elena Sharp, etc., etc., etc. And Bob, we might be getting closer to an announcement in regards to team golf in the Olympics. What's the latest there?
So the latest is that we're expecting an announcement that'll bring it into play, and it could be as early as the next couple of weeks. It could happen before the Masters, that the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles, where the event is going to be held, by the way, at Riviera, I believe. And so I think they're talking about a mixed team adding it in. Now, I don't know if that means that the same players who are in the men's or the women's event can double up. If not, it would make for some interesting choices as to which event you want to play. But it does, I tell you, it moves pretty slowly. The Olympics adding events and expanding events moves very slowly in the Olympics. And I only speak of my experience in covering curling. When curling first got into the Olympics, it took a long time to get there. And second, when they added the mixed doubles event, which has become almost more popular than the four-player event, it took some time. And the reason is because every time you add an event, you add an expansion to the schedule. You have to find where you're going to fit these players in. In the case of golf, you know, you've only got so many days to hold the golf event. And again, there's all sorts of these things that you have to figure out. And when you have so many countries involved and so many officials involved, it just takes a long time to get to yes and to add it. It would be very simple if it was, you know, your club holding and say, yeah, let's do that. We'll do that next year. So anyway, fairly optimistic that this is going to happen in 2028. And I think everybody has been calling for this since day one. And I think we're finally going to get it. I think the experience we got this year with the Grant Thornton, where we had the mixed team and Brooke Henderson and Corey Connors teamed up for a second place finish. I mean, that was as good as it gets in terms of entertainment and fun at a time of the year when there really isn't that much in the golf schedule. So Hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll hear that announcement. It could come as soon as next week.
Well, something that I'm looking forward to in the Olympics in general for golf is just normalcy, a normal Olympic experience. We remember back in 2016, there was the Zika virus. We remember 2020, the Olympics got postponed to 2021. There weren't that many spectators, if at all, when Xander Schauffele won. And we had that seven-player playoff, which happened at about 4 in the morning, and we were glued to our TVs, which was such a cool experience. But hopefully, we think this summer it's going to be more normal in Paris. Mark, for you, how excited are you about the possibility about team golf back in the Olympics?
I think it's a great improvement. I think it should have been done out of the gates. I think they dropped the ball immediately on golf in the Olympics, and everybody was scratching their heads to, you know, why are we doing just another PGA Tour type or LPGA Tour type of event? So I think this is much needed. And I need to see what kind of format they actually come out with, because I don't trust the Olympic Committee to do the right thing. I'm not going to be excited. I'm excited at the possibility that we might get the right thing, like Bob's talking about, like we saw at the Grant Thornton. But until they come out with it, I'm going to reserve my excitement for the final details, because I'm always got my antenna up going, oh, man, are they going to drop the ball on this again? Like, I mean, so we'll wait and see. So, but yeah, much needed to have some type of team concept.
Yeah, looking forward to hopefully an announcement coming, who knows, before the Masters about the Olympics and the format and what could be coming in upcoming Olympic Games. Now, before we go to break here, John Rahm is the defending champion at the Masters, and there are many really cool traditions at the Masters, one of them being the Champions Dinner. And John Rahm released quite a thorough Champions Dinner here. It's available online. A lot of it was in Spanish. It does translate into English. But Bob, for you overall, what are your thoughts on this menu?
Well, I think it's very much like some of the other international champions have done in the past, including Mike Weir, where he's made it all about his heritage, and it's a Spanish-flavored meal, Basque meal. I like the turbot, though. Turbot is actually a Canadian fish, we like to say, that is being overfished by the Spanish trawlers who come all the way over here and raid our disputed international borders. So, anyway, that's the only Canadian thing I could find in there. I thought it looked pretty good, actually, but I imagine for some of the old guys, like maybe Jack Nicklaus and Tommy Aaron, that they might just be ordering the steak and fries off the menu instead of this, which the players, by the way, have the option of doing.
It's such an interesting thing that they have there, and how you can order basically anything. Mark, for you, are you a ribeye guy for the main or a turbot?
I mean, you know me, Skulls. Give me a big piece of red meat and, you know, pull its horns and walk it through a warm room slowly and let's eat it, right? So that, you know, that's what, that would be me. But I didn't recognize half the things on this menu, so I must not be cultured in Spanish cuisine, because I read this, I went, huh, what, but we'll see. I don't know. He had some interesting comments about Rory McIlroy too, and Rory had some comments on this menu, and Rahm said something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing, well, the only Rory, something around the lines that he can't be invited to this dinner because he's never won a green jacket or something like that. So, I mean, the friction's flying early for Augusta. It started with the menu.
You know what, Mark, I think you're kind of lying there when you say you don't know anything about Spanish on the menu, because I think there's a pretty good wine list from Spain. And I think you might have had a few of those glasses before.
Yeah, sorry, Bob, you're right. I missed the wine menu. Yes, I can go straight to the cellar, for sure, straight to the cellar. And I love Spanish ham. Like, their version of prosciutto is really good. And the one thing I have had, and I forget the name of it, and Bob, I don't know, Bob, have you been to Spain, Bob?
I have not.
Okay, they do this dish where it is, and it sounds bizarre, but trust me, and this is like a famous dish in Spain. Everywhere you go, all the main city centers, Madrid, Barcelona, yada, yada, yada. French fries with a cracked egg and Spanish ham across the top of the French fries. In a way, it's like almost a weird Spanish twist on poutine. Now, we'll do gravy and cheese curds. They'll do egg and ham. It's really good.
You know, Mark, it's funny you mentioned that because when I was just in Portugal, we had something very similar. And I've been known to combine breakfast foods in perhaps a different way. Some would argue I'm a little different because I was a goalie for 12 years of my life. But Portugal, Spain, sometimes the cuisine is very different, but it's also very good. So I'm looking forward to hearing the players' reaction to this meal. And boys, last year we all put together our champions dinner if we were to one day somehow win the Masters. What I think I'm going to do, I'm going to look back. I'll send you guys your champions dinner from what it was last year. And the day before the Masters begins, the Wednesday before, we're radio to TV. I'll be back in studio. We can go through each of them. Maybe we have the same. Maybe we've altered. Maybe something has switched in terms of our wine, our taste, beer, whatever. We'll go through it all because it's such a cool tradition at the Masters. Well, someone who's hosted the champions dinner before, of course, is Scottie Scheffler, who won the Masters a couple of years ago. He's now a two-time players champion. When we come back here on GTC, we'll get Bob's perspective on Scottie Scheffler's brilliant win at the Players Championship. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by TaylorMade and the new QI10 Carbon Woods. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada. Adam Scully, Bob Weeks, Mark Sacchino, all here this morning. Coming up in our next segment, we'll begin to preview the Valspar Championship, the final leg of the Florida Swing. And coming up later in the show, LPGA Tour back this week, including the return of Brooke Henderson and Canadian Savannah Grual, too. So lots to come on the action this week. But let's look back at the Players' Championship, because we haven't heard Bob's perspective yet, because, Bob, you were traveling home on Monday. But for you, what was your biggest takeaway from Scottie Scheffler getting it done, becoming the first ever player to win back-to-back Players' Championships?
I think he sort of solidified with that 64 on Sunday. For me, he sort of solidified that he's found a stride now. You know, the putter change worked at Arnold Palmer, worked here. Who knows if he had adopted it a little earlier where he would be. And I think he's playing sort of fearless golf right now. There was nothing for him to lose. There was really, you know, I don't want to say nothing for him to gain, but except for more kind of assurance and more confidence. And when you see what he did down that stretch, yes, he got some breaks. He holed out that wedge shot on the front side. But I just think that he doesn't look behind him at all, or in front of him at all. He just powers through. And it's a little scary if you're another player out there to see where he is with his game at this point. And if he's not winning, you know, he's doing really well. He hasn't been over par once this year. He's only been over par once since the final round of last year's Open Championship. So from that, he was under par in that final round. He's only had one over par round since that time. I mean, you can go back and pull out these stats. I think 65% of his starts have been top 10 finishes since 2022. You know, you can go on and on and on about what a tremendous golfer he is right now. But I think this Players' Championship, to me, really put him into the point where we're starting to compare him to players who've had other great runs over the last little while. John Rahm and Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson. He's in that group. I think the bigger thing almost for me, though, was the PGA Tour really needed this tournament. They really needed a finish that had drama, that had people on the edge of their seats. Shockingly, I saw this morning that the ratings were actually down considerable, 17%, which I'm shocked at. I can't figure out that out. But when you look at the way this played out, we've had some flat finishes on the PGA Tour this year. We've had some players who aren't that well known yet this year who are coming in and winning. And some of those are good stories, but unless you're a real deep dive guy or person in golf, you know, you might not know or might not really care that much. This was a big time finish. This had the the edge of the seat, major championship kind of finish. So for that reason, I think this was a big winner on a lot of different levels.
Yeah, certainly was a big winner for the PGA Tour. I'm curious if the ratings drop had anything to do with the fact it was St. Patrick's Day. Perhaps people were out and about, perhaps, and enjoying themselves in a big way. And Mark, my question to you about this, so Scheffler is the top-ranked player in the world. How big of a gap, though, Mark, is it from number one, Scottie Scheffler, to number two, Rory McIlroy, right now?
I think it's massive. You know, listen, this is going to mean a lot coming from me, because you guys know that, like, no one dislikes the LIV Tour more than I do. I to me, LIV Golf is the Harlem Globetrotters, you know, and I just don't put any credence or value in it whatsoever. I just don't. But so this means a lot coming for me. You know, the second best player in the world right now is likely on LIV Golf, is likely someone named Jon Rahm or possibly even Brooks Koepka. I don't think Rory McIlroy is the second best player in the world right now. I just don't. I mean, there are huge, huge problems. And winning a golf tournament in a dome in the Middle East is not going to change my mind. I mean, those golf courses over in the desert, and, you know, he's got such a rich history over there of doing well. And that field wasn't strong either, where he won earlier in the year of the DP World Tour. So I think that regardless of where that second player in the world is, regardless of who you point to, whether it's Rory McIlroy, statistically speaking, whether it's Wyndham Clark, who seems to keep showing up in monster event one after another, or whether it's Jon Rahm or Brooks Koepka, whoever that number two is, he is so far behind world number one, it's not even in the equation. And I would suggest that, you know, if this putter change had happened 8 months ago when most of the world was screaming for it, the gap would even be bigger. We'd have more majors under Scheffler's belt, more wins under Scheffler's belt. For some reason, the reluctance, the stubbornness, whatever it is, whatever the camp decided to not make a change sooner, I think certainly changed the record books over the last 8 months. And I mean, look out. I think he's going to run everybody over. I really do. Bob, I asked Adam on Monday. Now, let's assume that for the remainder of this season, the putter is going to not be a problem. I'm not suggesting he's going to be the best putter in the world. I'm not suggesting he's going to lead the field in strokes gained and this. I'm just going to say it's not a problem. His putter is just like any other club in his bag, and maybe it lives around, you know, half a shot over strokes gained to a shot and a half over strokes gained weekly. If that happens, I'll give you 5 wins total, so 3 more between now and the FedEx Cup. Adam and I both had him over. We both like him. At least 4 more wins between now and FedEx Cup. Where are you at?
I'm kind of with the birds chirping in the background there. I'm all for it. I think it's hard to imagine him. It's hard to imagine him falling off the horse now that he's sort of climbed up and got that putter working. The only thing I would suggest that might hold him back would be just how many starts is he going to have? I don't know how many tournaments he's going to play coming in. He's played a pretty healthy dose right now, but I think I'm with you. I mean, listen, you know, there's every reason to think that he could have a big impact in the 4 majors this year. And I don't know, you know, I don't know if we're reaching out too far right now, but as you say, he doesn't have to be great with the putter. He only has to be average, even maybe just a little below average. I mean, he was basically middle of the pack last week in putting, and look where he is, right? I mean, he's just 64 on Sunday is miraculous. But I'm with you. I think that I'd take the over on that bet for sure.
That is, yeah. I it's hard to disagree with any of those facts right there for Scottie Scheffler. I'm really curious to see how he shows up at the Masters, the overwhelming favorite right now from an odds perspective, around plus 500, which is crazy heading into a major championship. We've seen some incredible runs at majors in the past. You think Brooks Koepka, four majors in an eight-major span. You think Jordan Spieth in 2015 winning the first two majors, one shot out of the playoff at the Open Championship, second place at the PGA that year. Who knows? Maybe Scottie Scheffler is ready for a major season. We will never forget. The Masters just a couple of weeks away. Well, this week on the PGA Tour, it's the Valspar Championship. When we come back here on GTC, we'll have a full preview of the Valspar. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. Visit WeatherTech.ca.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully, Weeks, Zacchino all here. Time to preview this week's Valspar Championship. Coming up a little later in the show, we'll make our PGA Tour picks for the week. And Bob, you've won two in a row. Have to give you credit there. Your guy, Scottie Scheffler, coming up in a big, big way. And I know both of you were convincing me to pick Scheffler last week. Quite frankly, I'm not sure what I was thinking, but I just elected not to pick him for some reason. But hey, that's behind us. Let's move ahead now. So the Valspar Championship this week, the final leg of the Florida Swing. And looking at FanDuel, Xander Schauffele is the pre-tournament betting favorite, and it's not very close. Plus 650 as the pre-tournament betting favorite. Mark, I'll start with you. Given the amount of golf these guys have played, a lot of these guys will have been playing their third consecutive week. How big of a factor is fatigue going to be, especially for Schauffele, who was one shot out of a playoff at TPC Sawgrass?
Well, there lies the big question, right, gents? Do you leave the players with momentum, or do you leave exhausted? Because some of the players that are near or at the top of the list when it comes to favorites this week are going to be dealing with that. I think we find out early on Thursday. I think on Thursday, you see these guys not able to get out of the blocks, like a Xander, for example, to your point, Adam. I think they might answer, give you that answer very quickly. I'm surprised we did not see more WDs. I really am. I know we got Cantley earlier in the week. But I'm really shocked we didn't get a few more WDs from guys that were punching it out late on Sunday.
Bob, for you, Xander Schauffele hasn't won, I believe it's 616 days now since his last victory on the PGA Tour. My question to you is, how big of a surprise is that?
Yeah, I guess it's a little bit of a surprise. I mean, he played really well last week, obviously, and you look at the rest of the field, though, and there's some pretty heavy hitters in there. So I think that there's always room. But I guess when people see what he did last week and how he performed and how his game was, you know, standout, and then you compare who's in the field right now, he's an obvious pick. I guess that's the big thing for Schauffele. I'm getting Scheffler and Schauffele all mixed up. I did it all last week, too. But it is an obvious pick, and so I guess people are going with the easy money on that respect. I don't know. I think there's a lot of good other people you could think of that would be up near the top as well who are good players, but I'm not sure. I mean, I picked them, so I shouldn't say anything. I have them in my pick, so we'll see how low those odds get before the first tee shot on Thursday.
And we'll get to our PGA Tour picks a little later in the show. Sam Burns, the second shortest odds. We're not going to mention Sam Burns right now because he may or may not be mentioned a little later in the show with our PGA Tour picks. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Next up, Justin Thomas. His odds right now, plus 1,400, the third shortest odds to win. Mark, for you, this is a guy we spoke at length about last year, and on that Netflix series, Full Swing, which we haven't gotten to yet. Season 2 is now out. Maybe we'll do that at some point on an upcoming show. But Justin Thomas had his worst season on the PGA Tour last year, made the Ryder Cup team as a captain's pick, has started out pretty well out of the gate so far. A couple of missed cuts, and he's missed both those cuts when I had him on my team. I just want to point that out too. But Mark, for you, Justin Thomas, how big of a surprise was that, that he missed the cut last week at TPC Sawgrass?
Yeah, considering, you know, he's done well there before. Missed cut back at the Genesis, another, you know, event that, you know, you would want him to do well at. Like, these are golf courses. Think about this, guys. We talk about Justin Thomas as, you know, when his game is back, and we were kind of all thinking his game was back this year. He starts to put his name there in the category as, you know, one of the best iron players in the world, you know, along with Morikawa. Not going to mention Tiger for obvious reasons, because Tiger, you know, depending on when Tiger's playing and not playing, Scottie Scheffler. Yet we get to these venues where you need to be a great iron player, and he's missing the cut. I mean, Riviera is a second shot golf course, misses the cut. The Players Stadium course is a second shot golf course. I mean, you can win at the Players and not be a dominant driver of the golf ball, and he misses the cut. You know, statistically speaking, this year, strokes gained approach, his numbers are good, but they just haven't been good on a couple of tournaments that have really surprised us. At the end of the day, the putter is just, he's putting with a blindfold now, just inside the top 150 on the PGA Tour. So, It's a little mind-boggling, it's a little confusing, but he's hitting it crooked off the tee. And he's not hitting a lot of greens in regulation, and maybe that's the part of it. Maybe that's what the real issue is here. And maybe, you know, Bob always says that sometimes you got to look deeper than just the straight numbers. Like, so why is he putting so poorly? Well, at the end of the day, he's not hitting a lot of greens, so it means he's not getting up and down, so he's probably missing a bunch of 6-7 footers for par, is what it translates to. And you know, one more thing, guys, before we close the door on fatigue. I just got the tour weather forecast for this week. And Friday, the good news for Friday is they pulled a lot of the electricity out of the forecast that was originally there. Tomorrow looks beautiful. Sunday looks beautiful. Saturday is kind of touch and go right now. But Friday originally looked like a complete write-off of thunder, lightning, huge storms. They've pulled back a bit into just a constant rain. So that means we might be out there for, you know, all day on Friday in a constant rain. So if you're fighting fatigue after the Players' Championship at all, the last thing you want is a marathon day in the rain. And we'll have to keep our eye on that.
Marathon day for the players. Also a marathon day for the broadcasters. Mark, did you pack your rain suit?
Yeah, I'm not new. I've done this rodeo before. I've got the full rain gear. The worst part about it is I know our listeners back home are going to hate this because complaining about warmth right now, probably not a probably not something people want to hear, but it's going to be 27 degrees on Friday, and a sideways rain. So that means a swamp in a rain suit for likely 27 holes for this guy. Oh, the glamorous life of the PGA Tour radio broadcaster.
Mark, there's nothing like walking around on a golf course when there's lightning and you've got big electrical packs strapped to your back, right?
Yes, this is the closest thing I get to athletics these days, a real extreme sport, Bob. I can't ski, I can't snowboard, I can't do any kind of extreme sports, but what can I do? Strap myself to electronics with a big antenna and walk in the rain and the lightning.
Yeah, it's quite a unique talent, Mark. And just to give you an update, here in Toronto, there is snow on the ground right now. Could be more snow coming. I drove home from the office yesterday in snow, so we feel really bad for you right now, Mark, and hopefully the weather does actually improve and it's not so much of a slog at the Valspar Championship. But next up, looking at the betting book on FanDuel, Jordan Spieth plus 1800, 18-1, and here's a guy who has played very well heading into a couple of weeks at the Masters. Bob, for you, what are you looking from Jordan Spieth this week?
You know, I've kind of lost on Jordan, to be perfectly honest with you. I think I was sort of surprised last week that he missed the cut, but I don't know. I'm sort of always wary about Jordan Spieth this year, just because I'm not quite sure how he's going to play. He's had some great tournaments, obviously, and he's had some kind of mixed bag finishes, and he seems to be sort of unpredictable. Maybe that's the best word I can put. I don't know if there's any other word that you can sort of go in there. He's obviously got lots of talent. He's obviously better than he was a couple of years ago when he was really lost. But again, I don't know where he sits and where, if I'm going to, unless the odds are really kind of in sort of leaning towards the favor, that I just don't know where to put him. And again, it's sort of like what Mark was saying with Jordan. You know, there's not a ton of stuff that's terrible. You know, he's got a couple of top six finishes, I guess. I think it was tie six at Phoenix, but missed the cut, T30 and a DQ in the last three events. You know, there's just something right there now. I want to see a good, solid performance, four rounds, doesn't have to win. Give me a top 10 and I'll be back on the fan caravan with him.
Mark, for you, have you been up close with Jordan at all, seeing shots this season? And if so, just how entertaining is it to see him and caddy Michael Greller go back and forth? Because as a viewer on TV, it's like I'm always glued to the TV when these guys are discussing shots.
Yeah, I barely seen him this year, Adam, to be honest with you. It seems like he really hasn't been in the movie on any broadcast that I've been a part of this year. And I'm with Bob. It's not that I'm anti-Jordan, and it's not that I don't think he can, you know, somehow be a part of this season and get his game kind of where he wants it. I just need to see something. I just need to see Jordan put some positive yardage on the board, have a couple of good starts, put four good rounds together, give me a couple of top 10, show me it's headed in the right direction. You show me a couple of top 10s, he's the kind of guy you start thinking about in the winner's circle, because if he starts hitting it consistently enough to be in the top 10, then look out, because you know he's going to make a large bucket of putts. At the end of the day, he's just not hitting enough greens, or he's hitting it crooked off the tee, which we know he does. He just does that. But even his crooked on the tee isn't that bad. I mean, he's hitting just under 60% of his fairways right now. It's just iron play is a little off. But the things that he does well, he's still doing well. But, I mean, I can't see him coming from a T48 and then winning the next week. I think he's going to have to show us some uphill progression, some positive yardage before he lands on anyone's radar.
Jordan Spieth, fourth shortest odds to win the Valspar Championship at +1800. When we come back here on GTC, six Canadians in the field at the Valspar. We'll discuss them. Plus, an LPGA preview this week, Brooke Henderson and Canadian Savannah Grual as well. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, home to 80 great courses, 60 miles of sandy shores, endless dining and entertainment. Visit PlayGolfMyrtleBeach.com to start planning your golf trip today.
Golf Talk Canada rolls on here as we wrap up Hour 1. Scully, Weeks, and Zacchino. We'll get to the Canadians in the Valspar Championship here momentarily. But first, LPGA Tour back this week. The Fir Hill Siri Pak Championship. A couple of Canadians we really want to talk about. Of course, Brooke Henderson being one of them. Bob, four starts this season, three top tens. Her worst finish is a T16. How great of a sign is this to see Brooke Henderson back to her usual consistent ways after last season's bizarre play overall?
It's great to see, and I think a large part of it is, I think there's two things. I think one, her attitude this year seems to be really positive, and two, I think she's got a set of clubs that she really loves right now that's really dialed in. You know, she took that new driver, the QI10, out of the photo shoot and put it in her bag, so she obviously loved that one. And I think there's just a renewed sense of perhaps energy coming out of her right now. So I think all those things combined are great. Let's not forget, nobody on the LPGA Tour has played any kind of a regular schedule yet. They've been stops and starts and traveling you know, thousands of miles to get to these events. Now we're going to start to see them. And don't forget, the week after the Masters is the first LPGA major, the Chevron Championship. So she's got a big major coming up, but she'll have a few starts before that to kind of get herself back into, let's say, North American groove time. And yeah, everything's very, very positive about her right now.
And Mark, taking a look at some of her stats, her greens in regulation, putts per round, and scoring average, all better than they were in 2023. What are you looking to see from Brooke Henderson this week?
Well, excuse me. I would imagine more of the same, guys. I kind of think we've hit this level of comfort. And maybe Bob's right, re-energize, re-enthuse. And maybe that's a result of seeing things. Sometimes, you know, when you're putting in work and you're not seeing results, it can be deflating. And sometimes when you're making changes, whether it be equipment or swing changes or things of that nature, and things aren't gaining traction, they can be frustrating. And maybe what we're seeing now is just a level of comfort with everything and seeing results. So you start seeing results, you start believing, you start believing, you start winning, winning breeds winning. So I expect more of the same. I expect a real positive week for Brooke, likely something inside the top 15, and possibly a chance to win on Sunday. If she finishes outside the top 15 this week, I'd be absolutely shocked. She's just, to your point, Adam, statistically speaking, everything's kind of good. Like, where's the real hole that would suggest to you she's going to have a bad week? I can't find one. Can she improve in those categories? Of course she can. That's the week we get the W. But, I mean, there's no reason to believe that this week isn't going to be another positive week and potentially that first win of the year.
Four starts this season, three top tens, worst finish as a T16. Brooke Henderson off to an amazing start to 2024. Another Canadian in the field is Savannah Grewal, who's coming off a T4 in just her second career LPGA Tour start. Bob, how great of a sign is this to have another Canadian, so to speak, in the mix at LPGA Tour events?
Yeah, listen, that's a great start. And I'm not going to hold my breath if she doesn't have a run the table of top 10 starts or finishes by the time she's finished. But it's a great performance. And she's a really interesting story. She grew up in Mississauga, and her parents... her mother is of Swedish and Korean heritage, and her father is of Indian heritage. And she declared at the age of 6 that she wanted to be a touring professional. She's also whip smart. She graduated with a degree in pre-med, and she has thoughts of down the road going on to be getting her full medical degree, becoming a doctor. So, I mean, there's a super smart player here. And she has been grinding and playing junior golf and went down in the winters to live in Florida with her grandparents so she could practice and play in the wintertime, flying back to take schooling exams in Mississauga. So she has made a big commitment to her career, and it'd be great to see it pay off and great to see another Canadian up there performing well.
Sounds like the future is bright for Savannah Grewal, both on and off the golf course. That's a really good bio there, Bob. Thank you for that. Okay, looking to this week's PGA Tour event, the Valspar Championship, where six Canadians are in the field. Nick Taylor, Adam Hadwin, Mackenzie Hughes, Adam Svensson, Ben Silverman, and Taylor Pendrith. Mark, for you, Nick Taylor coming off the week that he had at the Players, in the mix through 36 holes, faltered on the weekend, finished T26. Fatigue. How big of a factor do you think fatigue will be again for Nick Taylor, who, looking at FanDuel, his odds right now are 35-1?
I hope I'm wrong, Adam, because I think Nick is playing so well right now and was positioned so nicely after 36 holes. It would be an absolute shame, but I think Nick needs some time off. Even, you know, he even mentioned it to Bob when he spoke to Bob last week at the Players, that a few days off is going to help him. He needs that, but he's really not going to get it. He's going to get a day or two kind of transitioning from the Players right into the Valspar. Even though I'm not a big fan of guys taking a huge amount of time off, because, you know, when you're playing well, you got to ride that. Time away from the game is the worst thing for people when they're hitting it well. You got to ride those waves. But, and here's the big but, there's a line you can cross. And I think Nick, certainly between now and Augusta, needs a nice reset. And some time to chill out a little bit, not too much, because we want to ride this wave. He's just playing so well, but I am worried a little about his fatigue this week.
Nick Taylor has plus 230 odds to be the top Canadian or best Canadian this week on FanDuel, the shortest odds, followed by Adam Hadwin, whose odds to be top Canadian plus 260, plus 4,000 overall to win the tournament or 40-1. Bob, how excited do you think Hadwin is to get back on the golf course? Because throughout the last 3, 4, 5 days, all of the headlines have been about one of the greatest club throws we'll ever see.
I think he's more than a little excited. I think, you know, in speaking to him after the round on Sunday, or on Friday, I should say, you know, he was a little embarrassed. And obviously, I don't think he used to have a really bad temper. And we have seen it pop out from time to time. I think he threw a club into the bushes last year at one event. I can't remember that. And then he had to go back later and get it. This one was, there was no retrieving this one, but it just goes to show you what a miracle they have, these players. He walked off after throwing that club in the water and met with a Callaway rep. That's who he's with. And he had a replacement 8-iron that was built in California and shipped overnight to him. It was in his bag when he teed off the next day on Friday. So I think Adam was a little bit more embarrassed, and I don't think he's going to, you know, he owned it. I will say that he owned it. But I'm looking for bigger things this week, and I think his game has been pretty solid this last week being the exception.
Running through the Canadians and their odds to be top Canadian this week, Nick Taylor plus 230, Adam Hadwin plus 260, Mackenzie Hughes plus 600, Adam Svensson with a new caddy plus 700, Ben Silverman plus 750, Taylor Pendrith plus 850. Let's see another Canadian get in the mix at the Valspar Championship. Well, that wraps up hour one here on GTC. Coming up in hour two, Kristen Murphy going to join the show to recap the Players' Championship, her perspective. She was doing the SportsCenter highlight packs. We'll also learn all about Mark's long swing lesson he had. Was it life-changing? We'll certainly find out about that. We'll discuss, Bob and I, are we doing any work on our swings, working, fitness, the works? You'll have to tune in to find out. And to kick off hour two, our PGA Tour picks for the Valspar Championship, where Weeksy is looking to pick the winner for the third straight week. All that and more coming up, hour two, right here, GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, the golf capital of the world. Thank you for listening to Hour 1 of GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada. And subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit GolfTalkCanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network. This is Hour 2 of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. Why Picton Mahoney? Visit PictonMahoney.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada. Hour two, the back nine here on GTC. Adam Scully, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, all here as we preview the Valspar Championship this week on the PGA Tour, the Florida Swing wrapping up. And every week on the show, we each select three players who we think have the best chance to win. Normally, two favorites and some sort of value pick, because aside from Scottie Scheffler, this year has been the year of the long shot on the PGA Tour. And Bob, now you're leading our season-long leaderboard, and you've picked two straight winners, both of them being Scottie Scheffler. So I'm going to give you the honor. Tell us your first pick this week at the Valspar Championship.
Well, once again, I'm going out on a ledge, and I'm picking Xander Schauffele. And what did you say his numbers were?
Plus 650.
Yeah, okay. I wrote my pick six column for .ca, and I had him. And at that point, he was plus 700. But obviously, coming off that tie for last week, and I think, you know, the swing changes. He's working with Chris Como. He's making these swing changes. You could see him kind of with his practice swing getting ready, sort of going through a looked like he was going through a checklist of things going on. But, you know, he was eighth in strokes gained putting last week, picking up more than five shots in the field. He only made three bogeys and one double the entire week. And he's been inside the top 10 in 5 of 7 starts so far this season. Doing that while making swing changes to me shows, wow, this guy is playing some good golf. So I think it's just a matter of time before he wins. He hasn't won, by the way, since the Scottish Open in 2022 on the PGA Tour.
Some 615 days ago, his last win on the PGA Tour. Bob's first pick, Xander Schauffele, plus 650. Okay, Mark, over to you. Who's your first pick this week?
I'm going full horses for courses, gentlemen. Sam Burns won here in 2021, won again in 2022, finished sixth last year in 2023, shot 65 on Saturday at the Players, could not back it up on Sunday. So I'm going to go with the guy who looked good coming out of the Saturday round. He's 7 for 7 cuts this year, 18th in the FedEx Cup. To be honest with you, if you look at Sam Burns' numbers this year in the top 10s and the finishes, he's done everything but win. And why not here? By the way, guys, it makes no sense for me that Sam Burns loves this golf course. I don't think of Sam Burns as the prototype player at Innisbrook, but somehow he loves this place. It fits his eye. So just, you know, don't argue against the obvious. This is low-hanging fruit to me with Sam Burns.
Sam Burns' odds right now, plus 1,200 on FanDuel, the second shortest odds as a point of comparison. Last week, heading into the Players' Championship, his odds were plus 4,000 or 40-1. So interesting to see how different strength of field, how that adjusts his number. As for me, my first pick this week is Brian Harman, who has one shot out of a playoff last week at TPC Sawgrass. We've talked about fatigue at length on this show. If he does falter in round one, have to keep in mind that Brian Harman is sixth on the PGA Tour in second round scoring average, his best finish here at the Valspar, a T5 2 years ago, and we saw him play very well in bad weather at the Open Championship last July. If the weather forecast is as we predict coming up on Friday, I say look out for Brian Harman this week, plus 2,500, his odds on FanDuel. Bob, over to you. Who's your second pick?
I'm going with a little bit of a longer shot here, and that's Maverick McNealy, who played pretty well last week. I like what I saw from Maverick. He's a guy who I think has not played quite up to his full potential. Quietly been enjoying a pretty consistent season, though. He's made the cut in 8 of 9 starts so far. He's had three finishes inside the top 13. He's currently sitting in 10th in strokes gained total while leading the tour in overall putting. So I think that combination says that he's probably got a pretty well-rounded game. And as I said last week, tied for 9th. So I think he's coming in. It's a bit of a value play, but I'm thinking that maybe we're due for one of those after we've had 2 weeks of Scottie Scheffler winning.
Yeah, I almost had Maverick McNealy on my squad too. Great to see him back healthy. Battled a shoulder injury for quite some time. Now, his odds yesterday at this time were plus 7,000. Now they're plus 5,500. So they have shortened. He has moved the line, if you will. Maverick McNealy, plus 5,500 on FanDuel. Mark, over to you. Who's your second pick?
Well, no need to add a lot here. I'm going Brian Harman as well, Adam. You summarized it nicely. 7 for 7 cuts this year. This is a plotter's golf course. Am I worried about fatigue a little? Yes. But Brian Harman, to me, should play this golf course very well.
Brian Harman plus 2,500 right now on FanDuel. Those are his odds to win. As for my second pick, I'm going with the Canadian. I'm going with Nick Taylor, and I'm hoping fatigue is not an issue this week for the Canuck. He's played well here before, a T10 at the Valspar last week, and here's a guy who has good stats, strokes gained, tee to green. The putter has been really good as well for Nick Taylor. Nick Taylor, 35-1 right now on FanDuel. Bob, over to you. I was just going back looking through our show. It looks like one Sam Burns is your third pick. Am I right about that?
That is right. And his last three starts at this tournament have gone pretty well. He was sixth last year, but the 2 years before that, he was win and win. So those are good numbers to go on. 7 for 7 so far this season. Cuts made 4 top 10s to his credit. He's also got the 5th best scoring average on the PGA Tour this season. I looked at his scores, and they're all pretty good, except he seems to have one kind of blip every tournament, one round where he doesn't quite go right through the whole a lot of them. So I think that Burns is due, and obviously he knows how to play through this golf course because he's done pretty well on it in the past.
Sam Burns plus 1,200, and if Sam Burns wins this week, I will be cursed because I had Sam Burns last week for our Players' Championship preview show. Okay, Mark, over to you. Who is your third and final pick?
So hold on a second. Let me get this straight. I'm the only – Bob and I are the only ones with Sam Burns. Is that accurate, Scully?
Yeah. Is that – do you think that's a bad thing for me, Mark?
I'm like, you know how this goes for you, Adam.
I'm not excited about this.
All right, my final pick. I got a little bit of a long shot here, guys. I'm going with Adam Shank. Shank, it was the 54-hole leader here last year. So I'm just playing a little bit of horses for courses. He finished tied for 19th last week. And what's been holding Adam back this year is really his ball striking with the irons. The irons have been horrific, and you need to be a good iron player here. So why would I pick Adam this week on a place where you need to keep it in the fairway and you need to, you know, strike your irons well? You can't kind of fake it around Innisbrook. Well, last week he was 47th in strokes gained approach. On the year, he's been 105th. So amazing improvement in his strokes gained approach, leaping up the leaderboard. So his ball striking seems to be back in the right direction. You certainly don't want to be hitting it wild at the Players Stadium course with all those penalty hazards. A top 20 last week, coming to a place where he has good vibes. Just playing a hunch here with Adam Shank.
Adam Shank plus 6,500 on FanDuel and definitely has the greatest name in the world of golf. Adam Shank plus 6,500 on FanDuel. As for me, my final pick, you guys know me. I like to pick some guys who maybe we wouldn't think of off the top of our heads. And I went from first to last on our season-long leaderboard just last week alone. So I'm also playing a hunch here. And that's someone who's actually very close to Nick Taylor. And that was his college roommate, Joel Damon. Finished T11 last week at the Players' Championship. That despite shooting a 2 over 74 in the first round. 14th in strokes gained, tee to green. This is a value play. 120-1 to win outright. But plus 750 for a top 10 finish. Who knows? Maybe Joel Damon will help me climb our season-long leaderboard. At least I hope so. Anyway. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, we're going to discuss our own golf games and our off-season work. Mark had a three-hour lesson a couple weeks ago. I set my personal best deadlifting last week. Is that really going to help our golf swings this season? We'll discuss that much more next.
This segment of GTC was presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. To learn more about their award-winning golf course and growing community, visit CobbleBeach.com today.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully Weeks and Zucchino here. Well, in the GTA, the weather, well, it's been a little weird. Let's put it that way. I know our friends from First Up and James Duffy, who was the biggest golf fan, I think, ever, they were golfing about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, in the GTA, which I find ludicrous to say the least. And now we have snow on the ground. This time next week, it's supposed to be in the teens again. Who knows what's going on? What I'm trying to say is we have the itch to play some golf and play some golf outside. Now, Mark, you've been doing some of that when you've had rare days off during this long stretch of work you've been doing. And I understand that you recently had a lesson with Rick Smith. And did I get this right that the lesson lasted 3 hours?
Yeah, well, here's the problem, Adam, is that Rick Smith is very much like myself. We like to talk. So you ask Rick Smith what time it is, he tells you how he built the watch, right? That's the kind of guy Rick Smith is. So the two of us get along very, very well. So I went to Rick because I've got, you know, one or two issues that I know I need to work on. One is my takeaway. When I play well, I take the club back a certain way very well. And when I play bad, I tend to do this little movement with my hands that tends to get the golf club in a bad place. So I wanted him to take a look at my takeaway and give me some ideas and thoughts on how to improve that. And the other thing I've been battling for the last, really, it's gotten progressively worse over the last 15 years as I've gotten older, and it was really started with my lower back issues, is I start have early extension. I get out of the shot early. I get up on my toes and out of the shot. Now, with driver, it doesn't hurt me so much because we're hitting it so much on the upswing, but I get very inconsistent sometimes with my iron play, and that's the reason. The reason is I'm not staying down on top of it and working my lower body well. I'm coming out of it. So those two things we really worked on, and it was great. We got on a gear system, this or that. Here's the bad news, guys. I think... I'm pretty sure, especially after the last couple of days I spent at Cabot Citrus Farms, playing a little later in the evening and kind of long days after shooting TV and after doing a bunch of stuff. My body is killing me. And that's when I start to get into these swing issues. And I think I have kicked the rock down the road long enough. I think I have finally gotten to that point. I'm about... just under 13 months away from turning 50. I think I need to join you gentlemen in the gym. I think the time has finally come. I can't avoid it any longer. If I want to keep golfing, I want to do golf trips once in a while. I want to be able to play 18 holes and not be holding my back at the end. I think I'm here, guys. Unfortunately, we're going to put three GTC guys in the gym now. I know that I thought we were at the max with two, but they're going to be three of us, I think.
Well, I know when we were in Hawaii with our friends from Adidas, and Bob and I were huffing and puffing in the gym with a couple of players who were getting ready to play at Kapalua at Century. Mark, you weren't there, but I think the headline reads, can Mark deadlift Adam? Can Mark run anywhere near Bob? I don't know about you, but I think on social media that would go great. What do you think?
I don't think I get near any one of you guys. I mean, if I can just get in the gym in the same photo op with you guys at some point this year, my gym work is a real success at that point, I think.
Okay, well, I've become quite the whiz at Photoshop, so if you want to maybe, think of some well-lit photos. Anyway, Bob, for you, I know you've been traveling a bunch. Have you taken the wrapper off any of your new clubs yet?
They are still in the box, I'm afraid to say. I have not had a chance to hit them. I've been in Florida sort of doing my Mark Zucchino impression for the last 2 weeks, save for a Saturday and a Sunday in the middle there. And it's getting pretty busy right now in terms of Masters prep. We do, of course, probably more work and more preparation for that tournament than we do for anything else that we do golf-wise in Canada for the year at TSN. But I will make a venture over to the we have an indoor facility at Westin where I'm going to play. By the way, I'm going to leak something very quietly that's going to happen here in about 40 minutes. The CPKC Women's Open is going to be played 2025 in the Greater Toronto area. I will just tease you with that. It won't be. It's not Westin, by the way. Just for all my club members, who wasn't meant to say that. But that's just a little bit of news that's going
to. Bob, you don't have to say anything. You don't have to say I'm right or I'm wrong. And I don't know anything. I've kind of been a little bit out of the loop with my head down solely in what is anything PGA Tour. You know what it's like, Bob. When I put the headset on for 4 or 5 days in a row, you lose all the other golf. I have to go to YouTube guys going, what's happening in the world of golf that isn't involved with this particular tournament because I'm drowning in it. I'm going to guess this. You said 25 or 26?
25.
Will the construction be done enough at TPC Toronto by 25, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say they have enough built, and I'm going to say that announcement comes out with a TPC Toronto attached to it. That's my guess.
Well, do you want to bet?
Not now.
If only we were on TV, we could see Bob's poker face right now.
That is so good.
That's coming out at around noon, you say, Bob. So we'll
You got 40 minutes to wait, Mark, and then you'll learn what the answer is.
Okay. Well.
All right, good boys.
Yeah, stay tuned to our Golf Talk Canada social media channels and Bob's Twitter or X account as that news comes out too. That is That's awesome. That's great. I'm looking forward to being there for the 2025 CPKC Women's Open. As for my own personal golf game, which I know you're both riveted to hear about, in Portugal, I was there with a number of PGA of Canada professionals, and they, you know, you guys know me, I can be a little stubborn. And if I hear any sort of Bob, your face was priceless there. If I see any sort, if I hear any sort of swing advice, I basically take it right away, even if it's like a wholesale change right away. Because the thing I hear a lot is, wow, you hit it a long way, but wow, I can make you hit it further if you really want to. And for me, alarm bells are just going off everywhere in my head. So let's just say I struggled on the golf course. I'm glad I brought a bunch of golf balls to Portugal. But I recently was seeing our friend Michelle Liu from the Swing Lab Performance and Therapy Center, who we've had on our show a number of times. She will be back on our show after the Masters at some point too. Mark, I know you've seen her as well. Bob, have you seen Michelle Liu at the Swing Lab Performance and Therapy Center?
I'll say not yet.
Okay, because you would really enjoy this. So for those who haven't heard past shows or haven't heard our interviews with Michelle Liu, basically you go in, it's swing physio, and she gives you drills, she works on you to try to work on your golf specific muscles, and that's making your spine more flexible, your shoulders, your hips, your back. And that's great for whether you're in your 60s, in your 50s, if you're 32 like me, where sometimes your golf muscles just need to be worked on. And she has given me another new move to focus on my golf swing. So I'm going to be working on that. I might be heading to a golf simulator, a friend from Pace of Play. I'm heading there on Saturday. And Mark, you know my golf swing well, where I tend to sort of when I'm going through impact, my hips almost thrust forward, if that makes sense. And I do lose a lot of power. I hit some pull cuts. I just hit it a long way because, quite frankly, I swing out of my shoes on every shot. And Mark, what Michelle is telling me is that I have to rotate through to my left side, almost feeling like my butt is moving backwards and to the left as I'm swinging through the ball. Does any of that make sense, or am I going crazy?
No, it makes complete sense, and that's early extension, and that's what I was working on with Rick Smith. If you look at Rory McIlroy's golf swing at address and his hips, let's put that line across his hip and his belt buckle and put that at a 0 degree. Anything forward towards the ball is a plus degree, and anything away from the ball is a minus degree. Rory's left hip is so deep and so left at impact to what you're talking about, Adam. He's at about minus 15 degrees. You and I have a plus in front of it. We're actually leaning forward, for me into my toes, for you forward on the wrong side of that line. So Rick Smith's got me doing drills where you get against the wall. So I want you to imagine this in radio land. You get up against the wall, you put both butt cheeks against that wall, and then you take it to the top of your backswing. So I'll talk about this in right-handed terms, so the opposite for Bob and I, but from a right-handed community, Adam, you take it to the top of your backswing. You want to feel the right butt cheek go as hard into that wall as possible. And on the downswing, you want to fire that left hip back into that wall as hard as possible. The key, guys, in all this is when you fire that left hip deep into that wall, Skulls, it's got to be moving forward as well. That's the key. If you just get it too much like a piston where there's no forward momentum, you're just going to hit dead poles. And those poles are going to go 30 yards longer. They're also going to go 30 yards longer into the Bayview neighborhood, which means Bob and I win the match once again. So that's kind of how that works.
Well, okay, it's funny you mentioned that because, A, as you were describing that, Bob and I are on a Zoom call right now, and I was doing that. I wasn't against the wall, but my hips were moving, and I'm ready to rock here. I'm going to take this segment. I'm going to save it on my phone, and I'm going to play this on a loop as I go get ready to golf because this is exciting. It's intriguing. And to your point,
well,
Mark,
I will
when
tell
Michelle
you
first
you're
gave
like
me
this.
Yes.
You're going to like when, this. When, I will tell you this. I have taken this move to the golf course already. I'm having a very difficult time doing it with irons, especially mid to short irons. The closer I get to driver, the easier it gets. I will tell you this. When I make the move with the driver and I'm able to pull it off, I can't believe how far it's going. So I know this is the right path. I don't know if I can commit 1,000% through the bag, but if I can just make little changes and little improvements, it's great. But I hit some drives at Cabot Citrus, especially on day one with this move, that, I mean, I haven't hit the ball that far in a long time.
Okay, looking forward to seeing this new move in action and progress here for Team GTC as golf season is hopefully just around the corner here in the GTA. Well, boys, you're both very busy. Thank you for your time this morning. Mark, have a great call this week with PGA Tour Radio. And Bob, we'll see you later today on SportsCenter Speed Golf 3 Handicap The Works. Mark, thanks for your time. Bob, thanks for your time.
Thanks, boys. Have a good one, guys.
Take care.
Thank you. Okay, see you week C, see you Z. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, Kristen Murphy going to join the show for her perspective on Scottie Scheffler's win at the Players' Championship, the Canadians, the full Players' Championship story. We'll look ahead to the Valspar Championship, and I want to get an update too, because when Murph joined me on our TaylorMade product special on radio, she said that she gained 30 yards with the driver and golf ball combination. We'll discuss how her training is going as she gets ready for golf season two right here in the GTA. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cadillac and the all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. From Lyric to the first ever Escalade IQ, there will be a Cadillac EV icon for you.
Side Golf Talk Canada, Adam Scully here in studio, just waiting to get Kristen Murphy on the line here on GTC. Fun chat with Mark and Bob in that last segment, talking about our own golf games and looking forward to having golf back here in the GTA, hopefully in the not so distant future. Well, someone who I know has been to a golf simulator 1 or 14 times this winter is Kristen Murphy, and she now joins us on the line. Murph, are you joining us from a golf simulator this morning?
No, Adam, I'm not. No, I might roll a couple putts on the old carpet today, but no sim for me today. Taking a knee on that.
Okay, well, good for you on that. I have to ask you, though, because I'm not sure. Were you listening to our last segment? Because we went deep into golf.
I was. Yes, I know where this is going. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to go right ahead here and ask, how are the new clubs? How is the 30-yard gains? Are we still at 30? Are we at 50? Or are we at 20?
Well, you know, with the simulator, you're in quite the controlled environment. So that number 30, which you're really fixated on, it's been in and around there. I have taken a bit of a break from the simulator because I really thought that we were going to be getting out onto courses sooner than later, but things have taken a bit of a turn here. So I'm actually shifting to just more dry land training stuff in the gym and then working on the flat stick.
Okay, the dry land training. I want to follow up on that. So is this strength training? Is this more yoga based? Tell our audience what you're doing.
No, very much strength training. I really should incorporate some more flexibility stuff. That's a goal for the 2024 season, but it's just, as you know, it's just way more fun lifting heavy things.
Do I ever? I know that very well. That's a lot of fun too. And we'll talk off air because I have some great golf stretches that will definitely benefit your spine, your hips, that sort of thing. Because my low back is feeling as good as it's ever felt. Now, someone whose body felt not so great for a time being at the Players' Championship was Scottie Scheffler. And Scottie Scheffler got it done, becoming the first player to win back-to-back Players' Championships to successfully defend his title. You were doing the highlight packs for SportsCenter. In your mind, just how impressive was Scheffler's performance at the Players?
It was so impressive. And even just before getting to Scheffler specifically, just overall, what a fantastic week of golf that was. From an entertainment perspective, I think it really ticked all of the boxes. You have a great field, a great golf course, and then a great dramatic finish. So all of the ingredients were there. It's no secret so far in the young PGA Tour season, we've seen quite a few winners who are lesser known to fans, Grayson Murray, Chris Kirk, Jake Knapp kind of come to mind, and not to take anything away from those wins and those stories. But when it comes to a huge tournament like the Players, the official fifth major on the PGA Tour circuit, you really want to see the best players in the world on the first page of the leaderboard come Sunday. And we saw that this week, littered with major champions, Brian Harman, Wyndham Clark, Matt Fitzpatrick, Hideki, obviously Scotty. They were all in the mix. And that's not by coincidence. That's the golf course and just the caliber of the tournament. I think it's also how the players view the tournament, just like the big guns came out to play. Obviously, the LIV guy is not in the picture. That's probably the only thing missing, right? The Jon Rahms, the Brooks Koepkas. But it was really a dreamlike finish for Scheffler. And to do what he did in a week where he's coming off a win at a very large tournament in its own right, the signature tournament, the Arnold Palmer. So he had virtually no rest. And then he wheels over to TPC Sawgrass, and he's also dealing with a neck issue sort of throughout the week. And so to stay in the tournament, first of all, his caddy Ted Scott said to his wife that he wasn't going to be surprised if Scotty withdrew. So not only did he stay in the mix, but he comes from five shots back. He makes history. He wins for the first time. He defends a title successfully, any player at the Players' Championship, and he does it on the back of his win at Bay Hill. It's pretty insane what this man is doing right now. Adam, I went on a little long there, but I mean, I can't say enough about Scotty Scheffler, really.
No, I thought that was great, I got to tell you. And to think that defending champions on average finished 28th in their title defense at the Players' Championship, and Scotty Scheffler to get it done was amazing to see, and quite the performance. But for you, when you saw Scheffler with the physio Friday morning, mm-hmm. did you think this was anywhere near possible? What went through your mind when you saw Scheffler getting worked on?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't even thinking about could he end up pulling out the win. I was more thinking, is he going to be able to finish the tournament? Because you just don't see it that often, you know, a guy getting treatment for sort of 5 to 10 minutes, sort of right on a tee box. You know, it's a different look. And you think, if this is necessary in order to get through another hole, let alone to finish the round, then how could he possibly shoot low and be in contention come Sunday? So with all that being said, I mean, shout out to his trainers and everyone that helped him get in a position to be able to be in good enough form to finish the week, because that's a lot. It's hard enough to win on the PGA Tour, let alone if you're battling anything, even if you are the world number one.
Yeah, it certainly is. Scotty Scheffler, it was so much fun to see. We're in conversation here with Kristen Murphy talking Scheffler. And on Golf Talk Canada Television, which is airing at 2 p.m. today, we had the conversation about Scotty Scheffler and his dominance. And I asked Mark, I asked Bob, Scotty Scheffler is the most dominant player since fill in the blanks. They gave their answers. Murph, for you, Scotty yeah. Scheffler is the most dominant player since fill in the blanks for me.
I mean, a lot of the golf world is talking about since Tiger Woods. I know Mark mentioned since Vijay Singh. Honestly, Adam, I don't love the question. I think it has to be asked. And the fact that it's being asked certainly speaks to just how well and how hot of a heater Scotty Scheffler is on. But I just feel like we're so far away from the comparisons, because it's a shorter, just a smaller sample size in general when you think of comparing careers to a Tiger Woods. And I know that's not exactly what you were saying. But the fact that the conversation is taking place at all speaks to what he's doing. And the ball striking, the strokes gained approach, it's just completely insane to watch. And I know for me, when I'm watching him hit the golf ball, I just assume everything is going to be inside 20 feet. That's a given. But more often than not, it's 10 feet, it's 5 feet. And then because he's figured it out with the putter, at least in the last 2 weeks, it seems like there's nobody that can challenge him right now. So I'm sure the guys at the Valspar this week are just happy he's not in the field, because he's unconscious right now with his golf game.
That's a really good way to put it, unconscious with his golf game. And as we head to the Masters, just a couple of weeks away, he is the overwhelming betting favorite right now, plus 500, both on the betting books and just overall, he is the favorite. My question to you is, how much of a favorite should he be at the Masters?
Oh, I think he should be the overwhelming favorite. It seems like nobody else is even close. And, you know, no disrespect to the live guys, but I find it hard to kind of gauge where John Rahm and Brooks Koepka, guys of that, those natures, it's hard to know exactly where their golf game is because I'm not tracking them the way we normally are. You know, we know Joaquin Niemann's having a great golf season, but as far as the guys that we're seeing week in and week out that we're really paying attention to, Scheffler is just head and shoulders above everyone else, even Rory McIlroy. Like, I think about watching the golf on Sunday, and Rory is just such an afterthought, even though it seems like every week going in, it's like, could this be his week? He figures it all out. And then it's, I don't know, there's just something ho-hum about Rory McIlroy. And to say that sounds crazy, but again, I think it just speaks to Scotty's greatness right now, more so than how anyone else is playing, because we saw, even at the Players, we saw big names, major champions make a run at the end, Brian Harman and Wyndham Clark, and he's not a major champion, but he's come very close many times, Xander Schauffele. They were all very, very close to forcing a playoff, but if you think about it, that they were close to just forcing extra holes, whereas Scheffler went out and grabbed it from five shots back. So it wasn't so much that those guys were faltering, but Scotty just blowing past everyone. So it's, I don't know. I mean, I just don't think you can look at anybody else right now, even in the same conversation as the big Texan.
Hard to disagree with that. We're in conversation here with Kristen Murphy, and you mentioned Wyndham Clark and how close he came to force a playoff. That lip out on the 72nd hole. What was your reaction when you saw that ball lip out?
I'm so glad you asked this because I've been thinking about it more often than I thought I would. I don't think about Wyndham Clark's putts, you know, after they happen for very long, but this one has stuck with me. First of all, a fantastic putt. He went for it. He didn't leave it short. You can't leave a putt short in that moment. So the lip out, as vicious as it was, I think it's important to recognize that he really had a shot at sinking it. The ball was borderline halfway in the cup before spinning out. But my reaction, I'll be honest with you, Adam, I yelped in the newsroom, and it was, I don't know if it was appropriate, but it just, I was in shock. I wasn't the only one. A bunch of people were gathered around watching that putt because it was such an exciting finish. And then my favorite view of the putt, obviously I watched it like 100 times after all the different angles, but the fans at the 17th hole who were watching on a big screen, hoping to see extra golf because with the Players, had there been a playoff, the three-hole aggregate, you know that guys are going to be coming through the 17th no matter what. So watching their reaction to the lip out, knowing that the golf was over and the fans certainly didn't want it to end. I didn't want it to end either, but man, what a dramatic, vicious lip out that really was. I felt sick. It was sickening to watch, to be honest.
Well, it was such a tough break because even a couple holes earlier, you know, he birdie 16, birdie 17, but had a really good birdie look on the 15th hole that just didn't have enough pace. And then obviously the 18th hole happened. But for Wyndham Clark overall, you know, Scottie Scheffler won the last 2 weeks. Wyndham Clark was the runner-up in back-to-back weeks. He's already won a signature event this year at Pebble, and I know that was shortened to 54 holes due to the weather, but hey, the guy still won the tournament. He came second at the Arnold Palmer Invitational signature event, came second at the Players' Championship. Some would say, a lot would say, the strongest field in golf. How impressed have you been by Wyndham Clark, and what's your optimism, I guess, or forecast for the major season for the U.S. Open champion?
Well, certainly after he won the U.S. Open at LACC, I don't think anyone was very sure about where the career was heading. Like, was this just a total one-off? But I think his performances since then, winning at Pebble Beach and coming so close this week, you know, and he won again on the PGA Tour. I think for me, he's solidified that he is a big name to be contended with. And he, his slogan is to play big, right? Like that was his mother's words to him when she was kind of at the end of her journey. And I think he really does play that way. If you look at the chasers down the stretch last week, you had Brian Harman, Shoffley, and Wyndham Clark. Clark was the one that was really playing the most aggressive and really going for it. That's how I felt. I was kind of trying to think to myself, if you take Scotty out of the mix, which is very hard to imagine because he's right there, who would have won between those three, Harman, Shoffley, and Wyndham Clark? And I think it would have been Clark, the way he was playing. Shoffley, I can't quite figure out because we know he's come so close. He has top tens in each and every major championship. And he seems to always be there. I've picked him so many times to win majors or bigger tournaments like the Players. And he seems to just come up short. I think about his putt on 17, arguably the most famous hole in golf, biggest stage, you know, and he has a birdie look from just over 6 feet to inch closer. And he doesn't even catch any of the cup. Like, that to me is kind of inexcusable, even though I know overall he had a good week putting. In the big moments, can he get it done? I'm not so sure. And Clark has proven that he can. Even a guy like Brian Harman has proven that he can. So for me, I am very optimistic about Clark's game, especially in the big events going forward.
Yeah, Wyndham Clark, back-to-back runner-up finishes, definitely led the field in strokes gained going on one knee after hacking shots out of the rough, too. Some of those shots were unbelievable that
time. Yeah, I'm really sure he's doing some dry land training at him because, that is all brute strength to pull that off.
Talk about deadlift season for Wyndham Clark, that's for sure. He doesn't skip leg day. Anyway, no. Wyndham Clark, two straight second-place finishes. Before we wrap here, Murph, this week, Valspar Championship, six Canadians in the field overall. What's your excitement level for the final event of the Florida Swing?
I'm very excited for this event. You know, from an outside perspective, you might be thinking, we had a signature event at the Arnold Palmer, and then the Players, just the best event so far in the PGA Tour season. So I think the inclination is to think maybe it's going to be a bit of a letdown week. But it's a pretty solid field. There's 10 inside the top 30 this week. And also as we inch towards the Masters, as many players as there are who feel like they need to rest during this time period, there's other guys that really need to sort their games out. And I think of a guy like Jordan Spieth, who has had such inconsistent results so far. He finished third at the Century, and then more recently, he had the weird DQ at the Genesis, then he finished top 30 at the Arnold Palmer, and then he missed the cut last week. So he's kind of all over the place. So I'm going to be tracking him this week, and I would be willing to think he's going to be a guy that is on the first page of the leaderboard come Sunday, and hopefully that means that his game is getting a little bit more dialed in as we move towards the Masters. We know he hasn't won a major since 2017. And for me, when Jordan Spieth is in the mix at any tournament, the product is just so much better. You were talking about his exchanges with caddy Michael Greller. We even saw that earlier this week at the Players. There was the whole Rory dropped ball issue, and just there is always a dialogue between Jordan and Michael Greller. And when they're mic'd up, essentially, you can hear that exchange. I just find it so fascinating. It's exhausting, but I think it makes the overall product better. So I'm hoping Spieth has a good week this week, and that means good things for him heading into major championship season.
Jordan Spieth plus 1,800 on FanDuel to win the Valspar Championship. Well, Murph, thanks for your time this morning. I know you'll enjoy the Valspar Championship this week, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for joining us.
Take care, Adam.
That is Kristen Murphy, good friend of the show, who I know is going to be doing some dry land training today as she continues the pursuit of the 30-yard gain with her new TaylorMade bag of clubs. When we come back here on GTC, we'll wrap up today's show and preview when you can see and hear us next.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cadillac's all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. Choose from a $750 credit with Flow or installation of a Level 2 home charging capability from QMerit when you purchase or lease a new Cadillac Lyric. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more.
And we have some really cool content coming out with our friends from Adidas. Stay tuned to our social media channels and to us here on TV and radio for that. Time now for some leaderboard updates. Leaderboard updates brought to you by Bushnell Golf, the number one rangefinder in the world of golf. Check out bushnellgolf.com for much more information. This week in the world of golf, on the LPGA Tour, it is the Fir Hills Sari Park Championship, PGA Tour, the Valspar Championship. And I'm very excited about this one. PGA Tour Americas makes their debut this week. And as we've done in the past with PGA Tour Canada, we will have the winner on our show each and every week from PGA Tour Americas. One of the favorite things we do on Golf Talk Canada is hearing from these players hoping to make it big. Remember, we had Jake Knapp on our show a couple of years ago in 2022, as a matter of fact, when he won on PGA Tour Canada, and look where he is now, a winner on the PGA Tour. Well, that wraps up our first leg of our doubleheader today. We are back TSN 1, TSN 4 at 2 p.m. Full recap of the Players' Championship, one-on-one with PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan, and a preview of the Valspar Championship. Enjoy all of the coverage. Enjoy Mark's call on PGA Tour Radio. Bob and I are back a little later today on SportsCenter for Speed Golf, for 3 Handicap, and stay tuned to TSN's YouTube channel as well. We are putting together a little something on Scotty Scheffler's dominance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. And remember, the first good decision for the golf course always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more. Thank you for listening to GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network.